Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Well, what do you think about that? Hi, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. It's nice to be with you today. Jim is off today. It's my turn, and I'm proud of it. Slight mistake made on the engineering department, and we'll talk to him about that. Anyway, my name is Doug Llewellyn, and we are going to get involved in the world of coaching today. We do that quite frequently, but we have a highly accredited coach with us today, and his story is really unique. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I know you're going to enjoy meeting him and hearing from him and what he has to say and the people that he helps. It's remarkable. I love talking to coaches who are dedicated to helping out. That's really their whole being. They want to help other people. They want to help other people achieve success and to reach the goals that they want to. That's their whole being in life right now. What better can you be? Anyway, our guest is named Tom McGowan. He has a really unique nickname, and they call him, his friends and associates call him T-Bone. And we'll get the story on how he became T-Bone in a while, but anyway, Tom McGowan, years ago, was simply crossing the street when he was struck by a pickup truck, and that sent him flying 33 feet through the air. Actually, 35 feet is what they measured out. And when he regained his consciousness, he was in excruciating pain and was restrained in an ambulance rushing him to the hospital. He could hear the doctors murmuring things like, "How is this guy still alive? Really? How on earth?" Anyway, his muscles, his spinal realignment, nerve damage, traumatic brain injury, all included. He was a mess. But he didn't have a single bone, believe it or not. And he says you should chalk that up to guardian angels or years of martial arts training. Anyway, he's very thankful for it, and no doubt about that. We're all thankful for it, too, because upon his recovery, he set out to reclaim his life. The worst things to ever happen to us have a way of becoming blessings, he says. And, of course, if there was a time when McGowan wished his accident never happened to him, but now he can't imagine who he would be if that hadn't happened. That's pretty amazing. When he tells his story, people ask him, "How is it you're still smiling?" And he says it's because he's coming from a place of being empowered. He became a coach, and he says coaching is all about changing one's mindset, looking at things from a different perspective in a way that helps to empower you. He should have been 6 feet underground or in a wheelchair, but here he is, still going strong, still moving, still resilient. Today, he is the founder of a coaching practice known as New Imprint Coaching. That's New Imprint Coaching, which is a very interesting name, and I'm going to get him to explain that to us. Anyway, at New Imprint Coaching, he says, we go layers deep. We're going deeper by starting with how the client sees their world, speaks their world, sees the world, and creates their world. And working with those imprints and bringing them to the surface, he says, is very empowering. The whole idea is to help people see that there is possibility for their world to change. There's something beyond whatever is going on with them right now, and they have to bring their future into the present. He says even after all he's endured, he still has the mindset that he wants to help others achieve the life they want. There's so many people out there who can use this help, and he is there to help them. That's what I say. That's what coaches do. Their goal is to help other people achieve the goals that they want. And I think that's remarkable. It's always great to talk to someone dedicated to do things like that for others. So we're going to bring him on now. Tom McGowan is based out in Folsom, California. That's a famous name when you really think about it. But in any event, Thomas McGowan is on the line with us, but everybody knows him as T-Bone, so I'm going to join the crowd, and I'm going to say, welcome, T-Bone. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Well, thank you so much. And when you said Folsom there, I'm hoping they're not associating with the prison and Johnny Cash's song.
Well, they are. You know it. You know doggone well they are. But it's a nice town other than, you know, that reputation it has. You know, does it? What's it like living next to an institution that is that famous, or in a town with something like the Folsom Prison right next door?
Well, it's interesting because I've actually done some training, coaching, some leadership training for actually some of the prisons there at Folsom. So, yes, I have.
Yeah. How about that? Very, very interesting indeed. I'm sure that's interesting. I'm sure those people are interesting to talk to and to coach. And Lord knows, I they need coaching. Absolutely, no question, they can use help. Anyway, I told you I was going to get you to explain to me how you got the name T-Bone. Tell me a little bit about it. How did you make the change from Thomas to T-Bone?
Yeah, so I was actually working at Amazon during that time. So I was working for an executive that was there. And on this particular morning, if you know anything about Seattle, you know that it's usually cloudy and it's usually rainy. And so I was doing my usual, you know, save the planet, carbon footprint routine of catching the bus. So I was walking in the crosswalk, and around the corner there was a young teenage girl, and she came around the corner in her truck, or pickup truck, actually around 35 miles an hour, I think it was, or something like that. So she didn't see me, and so she struck me, and the report says I went flying whatever 35 feet through the air. And then there was another car coming the other direction. Now, I've been knocked out, of course, from the first impact, right? So when I wake up, I'm in excruciating pain. I'm in a body restraint. I'm in this kind of head, neck contraption, and I'm being rushed by the ambulance to the hospital. And so when we get to the hospital, you know, it's like one of those alien movies where they got you in the room and they're commenting and dissecting, and, you know, the doctors are like, wow, you know, this is this, and spine's been realigned, and we think you might have, you know, TBI, which is traumatic brain injury, but they're like, this guy doesn't have a single broken bone, right, in his body. What's going on? I don't know if they wanted me to be alive or not be alive, but I was alive, and so I'm like, either my guardian angels, my martial arts training, whatever it was, I was thankful for that. And so it took me about 5 years to start, you know, reclaiming my life. I had a lot of, you know, physical therapy. I had to go through brain therapy, those different types of things. But I had what we call a residual psychological trauma. And that was, I could not cross the street. It was just giant phobia. It was a major block. It was a limiting belief for me. And I became very intrigued about it, you know, since I had the time, you know, doing all this recovery. I'm like, man, what's going on inside of my brain? I've got to figure this out. So what I did was, I'm like, okay, let's get another degree. So I enrolled in graduate school to study psychology and counseling so I could understand what was going on, you know, with me, the trauma, the fear, and these different type of things. So one night in graduate school, we're all sitting around and we're eating at the dinner table there. And so I shared my accident story, right? And you can imagine, you know, miles are dropping to the floor, and there's this uncomfortable silence. And so no one knows what to say. So someone kind of makes a joke, and they say, hey, you weren't in a car, but you were still T-boned. So everyone started laughing, but it was at that moment, I embraced it. That was my rebirth. Because that was my new way of actually looking at the world and stating, you know what, I'm still here through all this, and I have a purpose to help other people on their journey. So that's where T-Bone, and so I embrace it. Now when people even call me Tom, I have to sit back and think, oh, yeah, that's me, because I definitely go by T-Bone.
Isn't that amazing? That's very interesting. You were working for Amazon at the time, based in Seattle, right?
Yes, I was.
Yep.
Definitely.
So let me say, how long was your recovery? I mean, I'm sure that took a while. It probably knocked you out of work. You didn't work for a good while. Is that right?
Yeah. So I was hit in 2007, and I didn't come back to, I'm going to say, the work world till around 2012, 2013. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a big chunk of your life out there just recovering. So in any event, you have relocated. Obviously, if you're in Folsom now, you left Seattle, maybe for the better, I don't know. But what were you doing? I mean, what was your goal in life at that point? Obviously, you were educated. You have degrees. what did you think you were going to do with your life? Were you happy? I mean, working, do you think you could still be working there if this accident hadn't happened? Would you have stayed at Amazon? Or don't you know?
You know, and that's funny. I've even thought about that. It's like, would I still be at Amazon? Of course, the stock is awesome, right?
But, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it did give me kind of a major change. And I think that time of actually, you know, recovering and doing different type of things just gave me a different mindset and shift on where I wanted to go. I mean, I've always wanted to help people. But I think this kind of answered for me that there was, I'm going to say, another life actually, you know, calling me to make a bigger, I'm going to say, impact in the world. So it was great working for Amazon, but it's like I wanted to impact the world a little bit differently.
Well, I'm, you know, as I mentioned to you and to our audience, we talk to different coaches, a lot of coaches. I'm always intrigued by what gets someone wanting to be a coach. You know, we have a lot of people who've spent many years in the business world, many in the executive suite, who retire and then feel that they want to use their background into helping others in the world of business, you know, help them get up the ladder. You're highly accredited in the field of coaching. What was it that made you decide you wanted to do this, to start coaching?
Well, my first, actually, I'm going to say, introduction to coaching. So I had, this was the late 90s. So I was living in China, and so I came back and I finished up my first degree, which was in languages. And so I moved from Illinois to Seattle, and I was homeless there for a bit.
Really?
But I found, yeah, I was. I was actually sleeping in parks and those different type of things. And, you know, like, no, you shouldn't be sleeping in parks and stuff. I'm like, look, I'm from Chicago. We can handle this. So I found a talent agency, and they contracted me for 6 months to work with the top software company. And I think we all kind of know who that was at that time. And so they had a project that they were working on for like a couple of years, and they couldn't figure it out. And so they had me contract and come in. And within a couple of months, I was able to not only solve it, but improve the streamline processes and about within, 400%, I think they said. So they invited me to a full-time job. And so it was there in that world that I was introduced actually to coaching. So what they did was they ran a pilot program, and they wanted to see if executive coaching was actually effective. And so they're like, hey, who wants to volunteer? And so I was a trainer. And so I underwent this extensive premier leadership coaching for 12 months. Then they volunteered. It's like, hey, which executives you want to volunteer for this? We want to see if it works. So they did, and at the end of it, the results were like they had a 20% increase in performance for the executives. The executives reported like a 47% greater life satisfaction. I think it was a 27% increase in just confident decision-making. And they noticed that the bottom line of those groups of those executives were actually over increased by 11%, right? And so that validated that pilot. So then I'm like, you know what? Got these skills. And so I'm just going to use them everywhere I go. So then in 2015, I decided, you know what, I'm going to create my own business, right? And so I'm going to coach those individuals out there who want to be high performers, high achievers, people who are dealing with imprints or whatever, and traumas and stuff, and they just want to make an impact on the world, but they have things that are holding them back. So that was my introduction.
That's a great story. So that's what really got you on the path to becoming a coach. Now today, you're in, obviously with the pandemic, you've been forced to work remotely with clients for the most part, right? You haven't been able to do it in person as you normally would, am I right?
Yeah, that's really been difficult because there's just something about, you know, the interaction of being there with the person, you know, face-to-face, if you want to call it, vibes, micro-expressions, all those different type of things that oftentimes you don't get, you know, remote. But, you know, you do the best that you can.
So let's talk about what kind of coach you are. Who do you work primarily with? Or do you find people of all walks of life on all different backgrounds somehow get connected to you and start to talk to you? And I guess it's, you know, the beginning – and I've never consulted with a coach, but the beginning, that first session is really critical because you got to you got to know whether this is going to be good for me or not, or you can have a rapport with the coach. And you, the coach, you got to know whether you think this is someone you can work with. Isn't that right? Not the way it works?
Yeah, no, that's really key. And it's like when people ask me, well, who do you work with? Well, you know, I'm really working with anyone who is dealing with, I'm going to say, setbacks and holdbacks, but really that they want to improve and be the best version of themselves. So I've worked with executives. I've worked with NBA athletes. I've worked with some leaders, world leaders. Some people wouldn't know. So, you know, for me, the thing is I just need you to come in and I need you to have what we call a growth mindset, the mindset that says that you're willing to take this chance, to take this opportunity to open up. And the thing I love about deep coaching, which I call it, or new imprint coaching, is that we're actually really going deep. And so what makes this a little bit different, many coaches kind of approach their work and their clients from, I'm going to say, a behavior equals results model, right? Which is great, but it's great for, I'm going to say, for surface work. And so the work that we're doing is kind of, I'm going to say, deeply rooted. And so what we're doing is we're working with the way that the client is speaking into their world and actually creating their world and that view, which then, of course, affects their beliefs, which then creates their actions. And so when we talk about imprints, working with people with imprints, everyone has imprints, right? So imprints are just simply, they can be new, they can be old experiences or events that happened, and they leave an impression that influences our present-day thinking, our habits, our beliefs, our assumptions, and our outlook on life. So when I had the accident, one of the imprints for me was being able to cross the street, right? It had created this thinking pattern, this habit, this belief that it wasn't possible, and that was one of the things that I had to overcome. And so that's what we use the deep imprint coaching for.
You, by the way, you've gotten over that, haven't you? The ability.
Yes, now I tell people when I'm walking across the street, I'm like, if you're going to hit me, you better run me over.
I could see why you've been very nervous to cross the street. No, that had to take you a little while. All right. So again, we're talking about deep coaching is what you do. By the way, you are really known as an executive personal leadership development and resiliency coach. That's a lot. That's a mouthful. An executive personal leadership coach, a development coach, and a resiliency coach. So there are three specific things there. And you say you do it deep. Define again deep. I didn't get the real grasp. What is deep coaching?
Okay, so I think the best way to maybe even think about it, so let me give you an example. So I was coaching a female CEO of a small business, and so she had been with this company for quite a while. She kind of helped build it from the ground up. And they were around, what, eight figures, I think, in revenue. And so she employed like this really tight, mean, lean crew. So she hired me because their eight figures had dropped to seven figures. And the thing was, the economy was good. The economy was lit, but she couldn't understand what's going on with the numbers. So her reaction was she fired part of her sales team. But she noticed that even though she's fired the sales team, it didn't make that much of a difference. Something else was going on that she couldn't put her fingers on. So during one coaching session, she shared with me that she had recently attended a family reunion. And she talked about seeing the relatives and she's sharing all these funny stories. And so I said, hey, do you mind, can we go a little bit deeper? And so I asked her the question. I said, you know, share with me about your family financial and economic situation during your childhood, right? And so she's like, oh, yeah, you know, we were dirt poor. And she talked about her grandparents who were a product of the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. So that meant that her parents were raised to be pretty frugal. And so I said, but my question is, so, you know, when your parents raised you, what were the messages about money that you received? She's like, oh, they were tightwads because they had to be in order to survive. And so I said, but still, what's the message about the money? And so she started reflecting. She says it was strange. She says my parents were tightwads, but my grandmother wasn't, right? And so as she's telling me this story, she's talking about working with her grandmother. And on a specific day, her grandmother, some work she was doing with her grandmother paid her like a dollar, okay, just a dollar. And I asked her, I said, wow, how did that feel, you know, for your grandmother to give you a dollar? Of course, as kids, we think that that's a lot of money, right? And so she's like, yeah, it felt great. It felt wonderful. And I could see her lighting up, right, as she was sharing this part of her story. And then suddenly there was a shift. And I said, just tell me a little bit more. And she said, I ran home excited. I had the dollar. I was waving it over my head. But she says, when I got to my parents, she said, they frowned. And I'm like, okay, so a little bit more. She says, my parents said to me, why did you take the money from grandma for helping her? You don't charge relatives or people money when they need your help, okay? So I could tell that something deep inside of her had shifted because her posture felt like she was deflated. And so I asked her this one question. I said, so how does it feel to be the CEO of an elder care business that charges money to people similar to your grandmother? And she said, wow. Horrible. Right. That was her insight. That was her old, if you want to say, insignificant, unconscious imprint that was actually sabotaging her world. And once we brought that insight to the surface, then she was able to go out and create strategy and stuff to enact the sales team. And, of course, her sales began to rise again. So when we talk about imprints, that was an imprint that she didn't even think anything about it. But we had to do the deep coaching to get to it.
Well, that's a very interesting story, and it brings up the question, do you find you work with women as well as men equally, or is it primarily men?
No, it's both. It's like, because a lot of it actually comes through referral, right? So then she's like, oh, man, look at these great results I got from T-Bone. And so then she passes the word, right, and then people come, and then they see how the coaching actually works for them. And that's what I love about it. I love the diversity of it. I remember when I was working with an NBA athlete who was had some issues with his, if you want to say, his free throw game. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing. So, yeah.
Did you help him?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I most definitely did because I like basketball. So the issue for him is he was having some issues, of course, like I said, with his free throw game. And so like we said, what I did was I asked him a few questions and I started listening. And I noticed that the language that he was using to define his outlook, how he was seeing the world, was actually creating the behavior. And so I asked him once again, like I always, can we go deep? And so I said, share with me the first time you experienced your free throw that really made a difference. And so he started reflecting. He says, oh, it took him back to his high school days. He's like, oh, yeah, we're there, East St. Louis game. We're down to the wire. The score is 71-72. There's no time left on the clock. I've been fouled, and I've got two shots, right? So the pressure's on. So he sinks the first one. And so then I ask him, I say, hey, how are you feeling in that moment? He's like, I was feeling, you know, nervous, excited, tingling, apprehensive. And I asked him, I said, how are you feeling right now as you're telling this story? He's like, I can feel it. I can feel it in my stomach, in my gut. And so here's the little imprint that he shared with me. So he says, you know, I could hear the people in the background, and I could hear my dad who was cheering me on, that you can do this. And he says, I shot the second free throw shot, and I released the ball. But I didn't look at the basket. I was looking at my dad right out of the corner of my eye. And he says, I hear the swish. He's like, and the crowd just explodes, right? And so I said, man, I'm listening. I said, man, it sounds like your dad holds a really special place in your world, right? He's a very supportive person. He's like, yeah, he was. And so I said, so today when you're at the free throw line, is your dad there cheering you on, encouraging you? And he said, no, he's not. And I said, well, so what's changed that he's not there now? And he says, well, my father had this saying. He says, in dollars, you might be worth something, but you're worthless if you can't control your spending. And so I said, okay, so what does that mean for you today? He's like, well, you know, I've been an athlete, you know, for a while, but I haven't really saved that much. I haven't really controlled my spending. And so I'm feeling a little bit worthless, right? And so that little imprint, just that little saying that his father, that little belief that he had, right, was something that he believed about himself. And that was actually affecting his game. And so all I said to him was this. Okay, so I said, for your dad to be there standing in the crowds cheering you on again, what would it take? What would he be happy of if he was listening to you and looking at your life today? What would have happened? He says, well, I probably would have hired a financial planner. I'd probably not only be saving, but I would be investing. And he said, I would be using the money to educate he says, the black community in wealth building. Now, he just listed out all the things that he needed to do, right? And so I said, now, what would be the picture of your dad? He says, he's smiling because he's proud that I've taken it beyond just basketball, and I'm no longer worthless because I'm in control. Right. So guess what happened to his free throw?
It improved.
It improved. Yeah, it over-improved.
Really?
That's imprint coaching. That's deep imprint coaching, finding those little imprints, those things, and how they're affecting our life and bringing them to the surface, those insights.
That's a remarkable story. That's a really good story. You know, I always wonder about basketball players when in a critical game and they're missing the free throws, and you think, you know, they've done a million of those free throws by the time they get to that point in a game in their career, and they still can't always make them. And they're so critical. Anyway, you're a speaker as well. I know you speak. You're an author. You've written a book. You've done a lot of things. What is your book, Lead Like You Care? Tell me about that. It's an Amazon available book. It is available, right? I know it is.
Yes, it is. It is available on Amazon. And so Lead Like You Care, so one of the things I also do is I do workshops. And Lead Like You Care is pretty much what it says, Lead Like You Care. I noticed today a lot in leadership positions, there's a lot of toxic leadership around there. One, people not understanding, I'm going to say, better ways to lead. And then there's, I'm going to say, a lot of misnomers out there, you know, saying that, like, you know, it's lonely at the top. You have to be authoritarian if you're going to be type of leader. And the reality is, you know, when we look at, of course, the research and different things and examples, the best way to lead is to lead like you actually care. I mean, and so that's what the book is. It's kind of like a 9-month journey. So if you were to do a chapter, you know, each month and do all the different exercises and things like there, you would be a better leader at the end of those 9 months.
Well, that sounds great. And that's the goal, to get something out of reading the story that would help them, you know, actually be a better leader. And how much public speaking do you get? Obviously, you're a great public speaker. I mean, you're good just chatting with you, and your stories are amazing. You do a lot of that?
So I do quite a few workshops. I've done international workshops. So I've done workshops, of course, in New Zealand, Australia, wherever I get called to, wherever the coaching is needed and I get the call, then that's where I go.
Listen to this man. My goodness. T-Bone McGowan, we're talking to him. By the way, you mentioned you actually work with some of the prisoners at Folsom. Do you go into the prisons to help, or are these, you know, chaps who get out of prison and then find they need help?
Yeah, so this was the state of California has some different programs, and so I contracted with one group, and they wanted me to actually to go into the prison and the Folsom one at this one, and actually to work with, and this was around conflict resolution management, with those that are actually working with the inmates and some of the prisoners. And so just different ways of dealing with things, even different ways of how they're actually interacting. And so it was a lot about conflict resolution management.
I'm sure that was very interesting indeed. Tom, I wish we had a lot more time because you're a fascinating gentleman. T-Bone McGowan is who we've been talking to. By the way, he has a great website. His website is newimprintcoaching.com. Newimprintcoaching.com. If you go there, you'll learn his story. You'll see how highly accredited he is, the degrees he has behind this field, and his career is really amazing. I just want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Hopefully, you are going to do this again. You'll be back with us again next week at this time. You'll have a you'll have a chance to talk with Jim at that point. So thanks for being with us, and continued good luck and continued success in your coaching career. It's wonderful chatting with you. Okay?
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thanks again, T-Bone McGowan. He's Thomas McGowan, but as we've pointed out all through here, his real name that he goes by is T-Bone, Thomas T-Bone McGowan. NewImprintCoaching.com. That's it, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Hope you rejoin us soon. Nice having you with us.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.